Hi, this is Brad Bright and the God is the Issue podcast, where we show how God is the issue in every issue. Now, today we're going to be talking about probably the most important thing I will talk about all year. And this, it starts with the question, why doesn't the Christian life work for you? Why doesn't the Christian life work for you? Folks, if you are not experiencing the joy and the peace that Jesus promised, there's a reason why. Now, I don't care if you've been a Christian for 50 years. If the Christian life is not working for you, I can tell you what the problem is right now. Do you want to know what's wrong with our culture? It's not the gays, the trans, the borders, the socialists, the secularists, the progressives, and all those. No. The problem is the church. You see, unlike the federal government, you can't give away what you don't own. Unlike the federal government, the church can't give away what it doesn't really own. Folks, if the Christian life isn't working for you, then you can only give away a version of the Christian life that doesn't work. And who wants something that doesn't work? Folks, that has a ripple effect throughout all of culture. Do you know how many Christians today are frustrated and discouraged? Do you know how many pastors are thinking of leaving the pulpit today? See, based on our surveys over the years, probably only about 5% of the people sitting in the pews today would say the Christian life is working for them. Only 5%. Now, folks, it goes back to how we view God, how you view God. Most Christians have a broken or shallow view of God. Their God is way too small. The good news is, it doesn't have to stay that way. You know, I remember a number of years ago, I was doing a seminar. It was a week-long event where about 5,000 Christian missionaries were together for a week of training. And I was giving an optional seminar. They gave me a classroom that seated about 100 people. And I entitled the seminar, Why the Christian Life Doesn't Work. 400 people showed up, and we only had room to seat 100. Folks, 400 missionaries showed up. Not just rank-and-file Christians who sit in the pew on Sunday morning, but 400 missionaries who dedicated their lives to spreading the gospel full-time. The rest of that week, as I walked around, I had folks coming up to me again and again and again asking me if we could talk because they heard about my seminar. You see, over the years, I've learned that Christian workers and even pastors feel like the Christian life doesn't really work for them. The question is why? Why? What did they miss? The answer is simple. They don't really know who God is. They may think they do. But I promise you, they missed something about the character and nature of God. Folks, it's very easy to miss. And I should know because I was once one of them. As a friend of mine said to me 25 years ago, he said, Brad, your intellectual theology is phenomenal, but your application stinks. And folks, that was a wake-up call. Here's the bottom line. If the Christian life isn't working for you, you don't really know who God is. You see, the Christian life is a life of faith. Faith in what? Faith in God himself. So it follows that your faith cannot be bigger than your view of God. Did you catch that? Your faith cannot be bigger than your view of God. Have you ever heard someone say you just got to have faith? May I be blunt? That's about the dumbest statement I've ever heard in my entire life. Because faith is a result. It's a result. It's a symptom of my core view of God. That is what I really believe to be true about God. Faith is a symptom. My view of God is the cause. I mean, it's kind of like saying, you just got to be stronger. No. You just got to spend more time in the gym. You see, physical strength is a byproduct of muscle growth. You don't just wake up one day with a six-pack, do you? You don't just look in the mirror one day and, wow, I kind of look like Thor, you know, Thor staring back at me here. No, that's not how it works. Faith is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. Never forgive that. Never forget that. Now then, folks, if you have a broken view of God, your faith won't work. If you have a small view of God, you will have a small faith. But folks, if you have a big view of God, you will have a big faith, a faith that works. Do you want a faith that works? Now, let me give you just three everyday examples of people who don't have a working faith because they have a broken view of God. First is the person who said, God could never forgive me for what I've done. Folks, people who say that don't know who God is. If you really believe that God cannot or will not forgive you, then either you believe he doesn't have the power to forgive you, or you believe he doesn't have enough love to forgive you. But folks, God has unlimited power and unlimited love. See, your real problem is that you have a broken view of God. Until you fix that, you will never have a faith that works. Second, if someone says, God would never send a good person to hell, they don't know who God is. And I know many people are well-intentioned who say that. But you cannot actually believe that and have a good underworking understanding of who God is, and therefore the Christian faith will never really work for you. You see, only God is truly good. In fact, he is the definition of good. We sometimes call God's holiness, you know, we call that God's holiness, although his holiness is so much more than that. Now, if you believe that God would never send a good person to hell, I have a few questions for you. Does a truly good person ever do selfish things? Does a truly good person ever have hateful or mean thoughts? Does a truly good person ever speak poorly of someone behind their back? Does a truly good person ever gossip? And of course, the list could go on and on. Now then, I want you to think of the person that you regard as the best person that you know, the very best person that you know. Now, I'm going to name this person Pat because it's just easier to have this conversation when the person has a name. So I want you to compare Pat's goodness to God's goodness. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rank God's goodness? And now on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rank Pat's goodness? Did Pat and God rank the same? Of course not. And that's the point of Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short of God's standard. We all fall short of his goodness. We all fall short of the very definition of what is good. But I know many of you are saying, but Brad, they're still basically a good person, are they? I want you to close your eyes for a moment and imagine a glass of crystal clear, cool spring water. And if you're thirsty, would you reach out and drink that water? I know I would. Now I want you to imagine that same glass of crystal clear spring water. Only this time, I'm going to drop a small, tiny piece of dog poop in it, okay? Just a small piece, okay? Do you still want to drink it? I know I don't. You see, when you say a person is basically good, you are implying that they are not perfectly good. They have a little bit of dog poop inside of them. Does God have any dog poop inside of him tainting his goodness? You see, your problem is you don't really understand who God is. Your view of God is broken. See, God is the definition of good. God is the standard. Anything short of that has dog poop in it. You see, if you believe God would never send a good person to hell, you don't understand that only God is truly good. You don't understand who God really is. And therefore, the Christian life can never really work for you. Third, here's the third example, then we're going to move on. If someone says, God just wants me to be happy, they don't know who God is. God wants so much more for you than that. Think of it this way. God is your coach. He's not your therapist. He's your coach. A great coach makes you do what you don't want to do in order that you may become who you want to become. And folks, that requires a little bit of pain, doesn't it? And when we say God wants me to be happy, we think God doesn't want me to experience pain. That's not true. You see, God loves you so much that he will take you as you are today, self-centered, angry, broken, judgmental, hypocritical. I mean, aren't we all a little bit hypocritical? But you see, he loves you. He loves me too much to let you or to let me stay that way. Do you know what God desires for you? He wants to transform you from the inside out. He wants to make you more like him. He wants to make you holy as he is holy. He wants to make you perfect in every way. And folks, that is going to require a little bit of pain along the way. No ifs, ands, or buts. So if you have settled for the half-truth that God just wants me to be happy, you have a very shallow view of God. And you are going to wake up one day and realize this isn't working for me. See, your faith cannot be any bigger than your view of God. Your faith is a direct result of how you see God. If you want more faith, you need to deepen your view of God. So the question is, how do you do that? Well, the scriptures are very clear. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, faith is the result of reading God's word, of hearing God's word, of memorizing God's word, of meditating on God's word. Now, why is that? Very simple. Let me ask you, what is the primary purpose of the Bible? Is it to teach you how to live a good life? I mean, a lot of people believe that, but it's not. It's not the primary purpose of the Bible. The primary point of the Bible is to teach us who God really is. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is all about God revealing himself to us, his holiness, his love, his power, his mercy, his justice, his goodness. Now then, let me ask you, if that is the primary point of the Bible, what is the single most important question we can ask every time we open God's word? Is it, what should I do? Or is it, what does it teach me about God? It's, what does it teach me about God? Until you ask the question, what does it teach me about God? You should never ask the question, what should I do? What does this teach me about God is the central question every time we come to Scripture. What should I do is a secondary question, and it flows out of the first one. Folks, do you want to have more faith? Then read your Bible every day asking, what does this teach me about God, about his nature, about his character? You see, either your experiences will determine how you see God, or your view of God will determine how you see your experiences. You see, the more time we spend in God's word, the more our view of God will shape how we see our experiences, resulting in greater faith. But the less time we spend in God's word, the more our experiences will determine how we see God. Of course, resulting in what? Less faith. It's a simple cause and effect. You see, we can never be good enough to please God. No matter how hard we try, we fall short. Again, Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, of God's goodness. Now then, if your primary focus is to try to please God rather than knowing God, the Christian life will never work for you. You see, what you will experience are highs and lows. Think of it as a roller coaster. One day you're way high and excited. The next day you're down in the pits. And I think a lot of people, a lot of you listening today can relate to that statement, can't you? So let me ask you, what pleases God the most? Folks, it's faith. Scripture is very clear. Faith, that is trust. The more faith we have, the more we trust him, and that pleases God. The less faith we have, the less we trust him. Folks, what I'm about to say next is critical. And if you take nothing else away from this podcast, I want you to take this away. Faith is the key to making the Christian life work. And deepening our view of God is the key to increasing our faith. And I'm going to repeat that one more time. Faith is the key to making the Christian life work. And deepening our view of God is the key to increasing our faith. If that's all you learned today, that's enough to begin to change your life. Do you want the Christian life to work for you? Then grow your faith by reading, hearing, and memorizing God's word. Folks, how does a plant grow? Does it grow by going, I'm going to grow? No, it doesn't do that. It grows by sinking its roots deep, deep down into the soil, into fertile soil. And the deeper its roots delve, the more it grows. The Christian life is no different. If you want to have more faith, sink your roots deep into God's word and always ask the question, What does this teach me about God? Remember, folks, faith is a symptom, not a cause. Faith is a symptom of our core belief about God. If you want to have greater faith, deepen your view of God. For the past 50 years, I've tried to read my Bible every day. I've probably missed 10 days in all those years, maybe less. For the first 25 years, God drilled into the core of my soul that He really is faithful. The last 15 years, God has been teaching me daily that He really is sovereign, that He really is in control in every circumstance, that He never says, oops. So may I ask you three questions? If you read your Bible every day for the next year, do you think you might learn something new about God? Would you like to know more about God? The answer's in the Bible. Would you like to have more faith? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, our informal slogan at Bright Media is this: you can do it, we can help. We want to help, but we can't do it for you. My dad wrote a book a number of years ago unpacking the nature and character of God in very practical ways. It's called God, Who Are You Anyway? It discusses God's love, justice, power, mercy, and many other of His other attributes and characteristics. But it always answers two questions. One, what is it? And two, what difference does it make in my life? That is, does it really work? I want you to go to brightmedia.org to order your copy. That's brightmedia.org. And folks, I suggest you get a friend to read through it with you so that you can talk about it with them. You can kick the tires together, asking the real questions. It'll be a much, much richer experience. You see, God is the issue, especially when it comes to having more faith. See, a small view of God always results in small faith, but a big view of God always results in a big faith, a faith that works. I'd love to hear your thoughts either on what you think has been the biggest obstacle for you in having greater faith, or on what has caused your faith to grow the most in this past year. Folks, this is Brad Bright. Thanks for joining me today. And if you found this podcast helpful, please remember to like, subscribe, or share. God bless.